Jim's period is March 12th, 2012, forward operating base, Edinburgh, Helmand Province, Afghanistan. I'm with one of the medics who's with the New Mexico National Guard but actually lives in Arizona. Sir, please tell me your name.
My name is Sergeant Brian Bowling. I'm from Tempe, Arizona.
And I'm going to call you Brian, all right? I've had the pleasure of flying with you a lot. It's really been a fun experience. It seems to me that you really like your job.
I do. I think this is probably the biggest honor to be over here functioning as a flight medic.
How did you get involved in the National Guard in the first place? And also, what made you choose the medical profession?
I enlisted in the National Guard immediately upon graduating high school and immediately chose to become a combat medic. It was a goal that I had had since childhood to serve in the military, but also to serve as a medic and a paramedic. The National Guard was the best option, which allowed me to function in both realms in my hometown, but also be a member of the military.
When you were younger, were you aware of the mission of Dustoff?
I was. I learned about the mission of Dustoff and the mission that Army combat and flight medics pursue while I was attending high school in the JROTC program, and I became interested in pursuing that as a career myself.
So you pretty much knew what you were going to do and wanted to do. So when you arrived here, is this your first deployment?
This is my first deployment to Afghanistan. I served under Operation Enduring Freedom earlier between 2003-2004.
And now that you're here in Afghanistan and you've, you know, pretty much completed almost a full tour already, was it what you expected? Did it meet your expectations? Did you feel fulfilled at the profession you chose? Tell me some of the thoughts you had, like when you're in the middle of the deployment and you've already done some interesting missions.
I'm absolutely proud to be here with this unit from New Mexico, Arizona, and Minnesota. It's been an honor and a privilege to serve with this group of folks that I'm with. Couldn't ask for a better group of people to serve with. However, we find ourselves now at a point of transition, and there's times that we wish we could do more. There's times that we wish we had better capabilities, that we had the ability to change things, and we've worked hard from the grassroots level to try and affect whatever change we can as medics, as pilots, and as crew chiefs at our levels, and try and provide a better service than our predecessors did. And we're hoping that our follow-on unit will be able to continue that trend and continue always providing the highest level of care possible to the injured Marines and soldiers out here in Afghanistan.
Now, we know that your unit works in five different places, including Edinburgh, where we are now. Of your deployment here, what was the highlight?
The highlight of this deployment, I can't really cite one particular mission overall. I would say if I were going to cite a string of calls, evacuating an injured Marine has always been probably the most satisfying thing that anyone in this unit does, making sure that we take care of our own, that we never leave a wounded American on the battlefield, and that we get them out of harm's way and back into rehabilitative care as soon as possible is our ultimate goal.
Now, I know that you and I have talked in the, you know, since I've been here for a couple weeks already, and you've been involved in some really, really serious situations. You use the terms double amp, sometimes triple amp, meaning people have lost two or three extremities. All the places you go into are not always the friendliest of locations. How do you reconcile all that and deal with that in the middle of the mission and then at the end of the mission?
What we see out here is just unbelievable amounts of carnage. It's hard to quantify it against what civilian paramedics will see. Sometimes calls that may happen once in a career that I might see at my full-time job as a flight paramedic happen here weekly, if not daily, for the members of this dust-off unit. I believe that camaraderie and teamwork helps us get through it. A lot of guys rely upon their faith, rely upon their friends and their family. Some use diversionary techniques such as PT, running, weightlifting. Others try and read. Others try and focus on what they can do better next time and continually strive to do better than they had the time before.
Now, in the civilian world, you actually do this same type of job, not under usually not under combat situations. But obviously, what I've learned in your profession is you never know what you're going to get into, whether it be here in the war zone or even, I assume, in the civilian side. What are some things you're going to take with you from this experience into the civilian world of what you do in the medical profession?
I think that's an excellent point. I would like my employers and I would like the audience to understand that the relationship that the National Guard has with the citizens of America is incredibly important, because the function that I do here in the National Guard and what I do in the civilian world are very symbiotic. We mesh the two very well. I use the training and experience that I have garnered as a civilian flight paramedic to better the care that I can provide my patients here in wartime. Additionally, the National Guard is what sparked my interest and sparked my initial training in aeromedical evacuation. And so without one, I would not have been successful in the other.
10 years ago, where were you?
10 years ago, March of 2002, I was just completing, I believe, the initial combat medic training at Fort Sam Houston, Texas. I'd graduated high school approximately 9-10 months before and had just finished up my initial military training and was planning to attend college. Just shortly after that, however, we were called up for our mission with Operation Noble Eagle as part of OEF.
And during that, you stayed stateside, if I'm correct, is that right?
Yes, sir. This was part of a backfill mission at that time, and our unit was originally tasked to be part of an invasion into Iraq through Turkey, from what we understand, and we were retasked due to diplomatic reasons to spend time backfilling airbase security throughout the Southwest, and I spent a year deployed to Davis-Monthan Air Force Base in Tucson.
At that time, 10 years ago, did you ever think that 10 years from that time you'd be right where you are now here in Afghanistan doing medevac missions?
At that time, I didn't. I was fortunate, though, that the ball got rolling during that deployment to enable me to do what I'm doing today. I had worked for a very supportive commander and some good non-commissioned officers who recognized my potential and allowed me to enroll in a paramedic program that the University of Arizona held through their medical school in Tucson. And I did that concurrently with the deployment. And that started professionally my career into flight medicine.
Tell me one person in your life that has been a huge influence on you to keep you going forward, that maybe carried you through this particular deployment?
My parents have been my inspiration throughout my life.
What's their names?
Clint and Yvonne Bowling.
And where do they live?
They also live in Tempe, Arizona.
Now, you're part of the New Mexico National Guard. Now, you probably are the most committed guard guy. I mean, you drive like a million miles just to come drill when you're stateside, is that right?
I wouldn't say I'm the most committed. I mean, there's a lot of people that have put their lives on hold multiple times to support this mission. I've chosen to remain in the New Mexico Guard out of loyalty to the unit. They've been very good to me over the years in allowing me to participate in several advanced training courses and be part of several different missions in the peacetime realm, multiple search and rescue missions throughout the state of New Mexico, missions where we provided medical support along the border to the Border Patrol and the FBI. Very, very gratifying missions that help the citizens of New Mexico and people throughout the United States of America. We deployed to nearly every hurricane that's happened in the last 10 years in America to provide relief and disaster support as well.
What does the future hold for Sergeant Brian Bowling?
When I get home, I can't wait to get back and get reaccustomed to my life in Arizona. I want to reconnect with my friends. I especially want to get home and play with my dogs and spend some time with my family and get back to work.
Will you stay in the Guard?
Absolutely. I've invested about 11 years now in the National Guard, and although at times it's been frustrating, like anything else, it involves sacrifice and it involves give and take. It's overall been a very positive institution in my life.
All right, this is a final question here. What's it like traveling with a reporter in the middle of a combat situation and snapping pictures all the time? And what advice do you have to other reporters coming in?
Well, Jim, you've been great at teaching me photography. I've learned so much about the work that you do when working with you, and it's been nice to have somebody like yourself who's been non-judgmental and there just to capture what we do without any type of hidden agenda. It's good to know where you come from, and I can't say that we've ever had anything but pleasure to have you with us on the aircraft capturing what we do. It's a story that we're very proud of, and we're glad that someone's here to tell it.
Okay, well, next time we go out, can you keep that window closed just a little bit when it's really cold out there for me?
I'll do my best.
Sergeant Brian Bowling, it's been a real pleasure flying with you and getting to know you, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it.
This is Jim Sperry, March 12, 2012, Forward Operating Base, Edinburgh, Helmand Province, Afghanistan.